The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
The Advertising Standards Authority is reported to be considering new rules which would require advertisers to declare when AI has been used to create ads in a bid to clamp down on deepfakes. But until something of that nature comes to pass, how can you trust what you see online? Well, News Talk's technology correspondent Jess Kelly is with me now. So, Jess, what are we? Are we talking about the ads selling crypto and various other products?
Do you know the schemes that I've seen you selling?
I sell stuff online.
You're flat out selling them. This is just your side hustle. This is your main gig now we're talking about. So people will have seen pictures of you, pictures of Miriam O'Callaghan, Brian Dowling, a whole host of well-known people appear embedded in ads on real websites and social media. Some of them are incredibly sophisticated. Another person who's often targeted is David McWilliams. I don't know.
Yeah,
I've seen David selling stuff. X.
Yeah.
And it's a deep fake where they've mimicked his exact voice. They've used a real video of him because he often posts on social media, but they've doctored what he's saying. So rather than telling you to buy a book or listen to his podcast, he's telling you to invest in this scheme today. Mm-hmm. And these have become so part of the internet now that they're kind of funny, or we just scroll past them, or people don't report them, or worse still, people fall for them.
Yeah, I think are we not so accustomed to them now, though, that we know David McWilliams is not selling crypto, or Martin Lewis in the UK, who's a big star money advisor, is not advertising cryptocurrency for sale?
I think you and I are, because we talk about them and we're talking about policy and legislation and regulations to try and police the internet. But just because we are doesn't mean that everybody else is. And I always have this thing from the very beginning when I started talking about technology. It's not good enough if, you know, 60% of the population understand how the smartphone works or the Alexa works or whatever it is. You have to make sure that the very last person understands how these things work, what's real and what's not. Otherwise, we're always going to have a digital divide. And I do think we are in a position now where we do have a digital divide where some of us, our media and digital literacy is quite high. Other people will dip their toe into social media to connect with the grandkids or the book club or whatever it might be. They'll stumble upon this and think, oh, geez, well, the supermarket shop has gone up now. A few extra quid in my back pocket might be nice. Maybe I'll give it a go and see what happens. Mm-hmm. So I can fully understand and empathise with people who end up going down the rabbit hole of clicking into these scams. And what doesn't help is the sophistication of the technology. I have seen some, like even on Instagram over the last few weeks, I'm obsessed with my garden. It's like one of my personality traits now at this stage. So I'm always looking on Instagram for ideas to do with my garden. And over the weekend, I was sharing videos with my boyfriend and he was like, you know, that's AI. Like, and it was a video of a woman sowing grass, putting in some tulip bulbs, cleaning up and doing all the bits and pieces. And I was like, what? But I had just scanned it. I hadn't watched it fully. And he said, that's not a real person. So this
and
technology.
And what were they selling?
It was to try and get views. Because again, content creators, they can get, if they have a large following, if they get a certain amount of interaction on videos, they can build up. It's the same way we've got AI artists spamming Spotify with AI made music. If they rack up the listens, they can get the money.
So you become a fan of that person. Yeah. And so you're in, but you're not necessarily at risk of falling foul to losing money on that account.
No, that's just a time drain. It's the AI slop. It's using your time to convert it into money. The more aggressive ones are the deep fake videos that the ASA is now saying that they're going to look at in terms of placing a label or encouraging labeling on posts. But again, as somebody who spends an awful lot of time on social media, I don't know how effective the simple use of a hashtag AI is going to be. And I do think we need to have better education and awareness of AI ads. We saw during the last election, I don't know if you saw this, but a number of politicians were using deepfakes for the crack as part of their campaigning online.
There was a bit of that, yeah.
There was a bit of that. And some people were sharing it because they thought it was gas. Other people were sharing it because they wanted to have a go at the politician. But I was appalled, not from a political point of view, but just because it's the normalisation of this. Like, I would love to know, if we were to sit down and do an experiment where 10 of us watch 10 videos, could we all spot what's a deepfake and what's not? They are getting to the level now where, if we start normalising them in political conversations, we're already having a bit of this in America, but you won't be able to trust the people that you use. Like, I know that you had Jess Woodlock on this program a number of months ago talking about a report that she had done on the use of AI in speech writing, for example, or in press release writing. That is something that I don't have a massive issue with because I do think it's a useful tool. But when it's a speech or something that's meant to be coming from a place of passion, that's when it's problematic. When it comes to elections or referenda or anything that you could use your vote on, that is problematic. We need to understand what we're engaging with when we're consuming content online.
It just feels like a runaway train. I mean, those ads that you talk about, they've been around now for, I can remember the first one that I was in from about 10 years ago, if not more. And now I've just stopped even, I don't see that many of them that anymore, but I stopped reporting them. I used to go to the bother of reporting them, but I don't anymore because you'd be there all day.
Yeah, and I do think that is part of the problem. And I think that is something that the ASA, in an interview with The Independent, they acknowledged that it can be arduous to get stuff taken down. But again, the tech companies are using so much AI. There's the technology there to be able to detect if something is produced with artificial intelligence. And this is not saying that we should never, ever use generative AI. There are some brilliant use cases for it. But if it's firstly a deepfake of somebody who's well known, you're misusing and abusing somebody's image. You're also then scamming people on the other end of it. That is massively problematic. I also have a huge issue with influencers using AI, using filters, doctoring images to showcase the different products that they're utilizing to then get you to sell, to buy. Mm-hmm. Because that to me is, maybe it's not as blatant as, you know, a crypto scam or whatever it may be.
It's fakery though, isn't it?
It's fakery and it's disingenuous. And I do think that that's going to be part of the downfall of that culture. I'm frustrated at the minute because I do feel like when I'm on the Lewis home, scrolling through Instagram, I'm afraid to interact with anything because I don't know what's real and what's not. And it's only going to get worse as the technology becomes more and more sophisticated. And if I, somebody who, as I said, spends time and it's my job to know these things, can't spot the difference, how can we expect, you know, the last person, as I mentioned there a few minutes ago, the last person in the country who's tech savvy and all the rest to be able to detect it.
So what do we do? How do we protect ourselves? Check and double check?
And then check again. Yeah, that is sort of the bottom line here. It is worth doing I always use the word audit just to emphasize how cool I am, but it is worth doing a bit of an audit of who you're following on social media, the brands that you interact with, where you're getting your news from, asking yourself who benefits from me reading this, believing it and sharing it. And if you don't know the answer to that question, or if you just think something doesn't sit right with me, don't share it. If you see something that is blatantly mis and disinformation, it is a pain in the face, but it is worth going to the effort of reporting the content. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean it's going to get taken down.
Yeah, 2 days later, they'll come back to you and say, this does not breach our guidelines.
Yeah, it's so helpful when they do that. But again, it's the only element that we have in our power. I would also urge people just to be Captain Buzzkill again. Don't share on the deep fakes that you think are good crack, and don't jump on the trends of, like there was one a few months ago on Instagram of 2016, here was me in 2016, mm-hmm. where people were pulling together their own images and putting them up on social media to show them 10 years ago. What you're doing there, you're not just being nostalgic, you're actually helping to train the AI, because it can see how you've aged. And it's not the case that, you know, the AI doesn't scan your images anyway, but you're actually feeding it the information. You are saying,
here you go,
this is me. This is where, and you know, people were writing long captions going, I went to Thailand and then I was in Italy, I did this, that and the other. You are feeding the AI.
So they built up a really good picture of who you are and what you might do in future and exactly. What you might buy and all
but
of that.
But also humans, as they're learning about our nature. And I don't want to go too dystopian on this Bank Holiday Tuesday and all, everyone's in great form except me. But we need to understand the technology that we're interacting with. I'm reading a book, Sarah Wynne Williams' book at the moment, Careless People. So she worked at Meta for many years. She was the director of public policy. And she is recounting allegations that Meta deny. But she's saying that for such a long time, people were willingly engaging with these platforms, with these tools, because they were there. And so just because a piece of technology exists or a platform exists doesn't mean we have to jump on the bandwagon. The onus is on us to understand how it works when we're the product, essentially, and also then calling out stuff that's not okay.
Jess, one more thing I want to ask you about quickly. Artemis 2, flying around the moon on the way back, doing amazing things. Now, we were talking this morning amongst ourselves here on the team how awful it is, in a way, for the crew to have this live camera on them the entire time, even when they're fixing the loo for the 12th time. But what people have noticed is that on their very fancy tablet, the security code is 3939. Now, should the NASA lads not have a better code security system than that?
I was just so happy it wasn't 1234. That was my honest reaction. But no, look, it made me laugh so much. I think we've all done that. You know, if you're at the ATM or if you're paying in a restaurant, when you put your card in, back in the day, you used to be like hunched over, like someone was trying to copy your homework when you're putting your PIN in. I do feel bad for NASA, but they've made me feel really, really good about not being so careless with my passwords now.
2345.
Can't beat it.
Thanks, Jess. We'll take a break.
The Claire Byrne Show with Aviva Insurance. Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.